I certainly knew that song, but I did not know the previous song that Barry led, but I hope he will lead that some more. I liked it a great deal. Linda, I sent you an email asking about Amy. Evidently, you did not get it. How is Amy's back?
She's better.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, she's walking.
Oh, good. Good.
Tomorrow, so
okay. And that's local, is it not? Victoria, okay. Well, we'll be praying for you and your surgery tomorrow. Here again, I was telling Blanca right before church started, if we could convert an orthopedic doctor, we could keep him in business. Because between knees and backs and ankles and shoulders and everything, we could easily keep him in business. Back when I was, my children were young, they loved to play I Spy, especially if we were traveling in the car. Well, I'm not going to play that game, but I was thinking about playing I Spy, something really, really nice in the auditorium, and it's the attendance and the contribution from this morning. That's the first time we've been over 100 in a long time, first time we've been in the 3,000 contribution in a long, long time. And that does give me the opportunity to announce we're going to be having a lesson on giving again next Sunday morning. So be planning on that. I certainly hope you do not stay away because of that. But we need to talk about that from time to time. It has been a requested sermon. What I would like to do tonight is what I do quite often, and especially on a Sunday night. I would like to pose a question, and then I would like to give answers, but I want to support my answers, of course, with the Bible. Now, I'll be making several points in the lesson tonight, but you'll be thinking of other points that I could have made, but we'll use these tonight. The question is, what makes a great church? And of course, we mean congregation. What makes a great congregation? Let's think about that for just a little while. Now, there are various people that we probably know that would probably disagree with the way I'm going to handle the lesson tonight. Some of the evidence that they would offer for a great congregation, I'm not going to offer. In fact, I would probably disagree with them. But let's think about tonight the question, what does it make? What makes a great church? First of all, some would suggest size. The size of a congregation is what makes the congregation great. If the congregation is big, it's great. If it's great, it's big. In fact, a lot of times when we're talking, even among our brotherhood, if you go to a lectureship or a gospel meeting and you say, I attend such and such, Port Lavaca Church of Christ, how big is the congregation there? You know, how many people attend? If it's big, it must be great. And if it's great, it must be big. Well, maybe so, and maybe not. Now, we do agree there is strength in numbers. A congregation of size can do things, if the congregation works with them, can do things that smaller congregations cannot. But size does not necessarily mean that the church is great. Now, for my illustration, or my introduction to my illustration, I want to use the broadest term, the broadest definition of the word Christian that we possibly can. This is the way the world uses the word Christian. Do you realize there are more Muslims in the world than there are Christians? If that is the case, then is Islam the greatest religion? Well, of course we would say not. That's not fundamentally primary. And my illustration is Gideon of the Old Testament. Gideon and the Israelites were going to battle against the Midianites. He raised an army of, do you remember how many? 32,000 soldiers. That's a big army. And though I'm paraphrasing greatly, God said, that's too many. I want you and I want the Israelites and I want the Christians years from now to realize that God was the one that defeated the Midianites. He just used Gideon and the army. So with various means, he winnowed that number down to, do you remember that? 300. From 32,000 down to 300. But with those 300, Gideon and that 300 annihilated the Midianites. You see, God was with them. It wasn't the number, it wasn't the size, it was the fact that they had given themselves to God. In fact, quite often we can find stories, especially in the Old Testament, where God used a few to conquer many. Now, yes, God is interested in numbers. Please don't get me wrong, because those numbers represent souls. And God wants all men everywhere, I know the Bible says, to repent, but he wants them to be saved. So God is interested in numbers, but numbers alone does not equal greatness. Well, what about wealth? There are some people that think that the wealth of a congregation means they're great. Wealthy congregation is a great congregation. A great congregation is a wealthy congregation. Not necessarily so. Let's look at the early church. You know, when the church was its greatest was in the first century. Jerusalem, one of the greatest congregations ever, was a very poor congregation. In fact, they needed some special contribution to see them through. So greatness does not equate with wealth and vice versa. Certainly there are some things that a wealthy congregation can do. If the congregation is working for the Lord, we understand that. But wealth does not equal greatness. I tell you what makes a congregation great in the area of wealth is generosity. Are they a generous congregation? You remember Paul commended the congregation or congregations in Macedonia. He said, "You have given in abundance, but they were very, very poor." And that's why he singled them out. They were generous. Now, the Lord is interested in wealth because wealth can do things like support missionaries, benevolence, and so forth. But just because a congregation has a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean they're great. And what about the building? Does a beautiful, big, fancy building make a congregation great? Now, don't get me wrong, nice big building like we have here is certainly great, but that's not what makes a congregation great. Again, the church in Jerusalem didn't even have a building, and yet they were a great congregation. We could talk about other things like prestige and location, history. Does the history of a congregation make it great? Brethren, I can remember growing up here on the Texas Gulf Coast, I can remember some congregations that I truly felt were great congregations that are no longer in existence. So I guess there was a problem. And no doubt we could consider a lot of other things as well. But instead of dwelling on those things, let's dwell on what the Bible says really makes a great congregation. My first point is, to be a great congregation, the congregation has to have a knowledge of and an acceptance of God's word. That's what makes a congregation great. It is our knowledge of the Bible, and it is our acceptance of the Bible. I have known individuals that had a tremendous Bible knowledge. They could quote the scripture with the best of us, but they didn't apply the scripture to their own lives. In fact, many times they would learn the scripture in order to try to refute the scripture. So it's a knowledge of and an acceptance of God's word. An astute characteristic of a truly great church is the knowledge of the will, because unless we know the truth, we're not going to know how to worship God. We're not going to know how to please God. We're not going to know what's right and what's wrong. We won't know truth from error. We won't be able to defeat the gainsayer because we don't know the truth. You remember the beautiful compliment that Paul gave to the church in Berea. He said they were more noble than their neighboring congregation because they searched the scripture daily. They accepted the preaching of Paul with all readiness of heart, and they searched the scripture daily to prove those things are so. Acts 17, verse 11, and you know I paraphrase just a little bit. He laid further emphasis when he wrote to Timothy, and he said, give diligence, or King James says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling aright, or rightly handling God's word. We have to handle it correctly. We have to know the truth. Jesus says it is the truth that will make us free. So the size of the congregation, the wealth of the congregation, the building, the history, all of that is good to talk about, but that does not make a great church. It's a knowledge of, and it is an acceptance of God's word. Second, to be a great congregation, the congregation has to have faith. Now, you know the verses about faith just as well as I do. Brethren, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. Paul says, because those of us who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The way I see that is, we have to believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of us that seek him. We have to believe that God can do what he says, and he will do what he says. It's more than just mental assent. You've heard me say that before. It's more than just acknowledging there is a God. It is trusting God. Maybe we need to talk more about trusting God. That's where faith comes from, a deep, abiding trust. Number three, to be a great church, the church has to have a good work ethic. Now, when I say work ethic, I'm talking about putting our faith into practice. And that's what Jesus meant in John 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what Jesus meant when he said, but be ye not a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. That's what Paul said when he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm going to forget the past and I'm going to press toward the future because that's where our salvation is. So we need a good work ethic. Now, the opposite of work ethic, I suppose, would be apathy. Brethren, the Lord would rather have a congregation of 10 members that are working than 10,000 members that are not. We have to work for the Lord. And there are other concepts and ideas and provable thoughts that we could look at tonight, but I saved really my favorite two for the last. One is, to be a great congregation, we have to be in fellowship. By fellowship, I mean sharing each other's lives. By fellowship, I mean a warm feeling toward each other, a proper feeling toward each other. We have to have a continuing caring about each other. We have to be in fellowship. In other words, we've got to love each other. That's just all there is to it. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another to the same degree that I love you. And then he said, it is that degree of love that will distinguish us from the rest of the world. That's why we'll be known as his disciples. Really, Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 4, verse 3, when he talks about the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We need to have unity. We need to have peace. Brethren, we need to work together, but we need to worship together. And to do that, we need to love each other. But before the church can be great, there has to be a thorough understanding of God's will. How do we know what makes God happy? How do we know what makes him sad unless we know his will? And that takes commitment. And I suppose if I was thinking of a characteristic that I remember from my youth that I don't remember so much today, it would be the idea of a commitment to the working of the Lord. And finally, there must be love. The greatest of these is love. The first and great commandment is love. That's what we need to be. A great congregation needs to be a congregation that cares for the truth, protects the truth, lives the truth, cares for each other, lives for each other, and also loves each other until Jesus comes again. And may we always be that great congregation. Perhaps tonight there are some who need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Whatever the reason might be, if you need to, won't you come? As Barry, let's see, here comes Barry. Barry leads us in this song. Shall we stand and sing?